the holy city of Mecca has become a Mecca for a commercially glittery building initiative, and unholy to some, by the Saudi government that has changed the city of the Hajj to look more like a theme park mall than a millennium-old cultural site. Did you know that Mecca has the tallest clock tower building in the world, the tallest hotel in the world? As millions of Muslims embark on the pilgrimage to Mecca this week, part of the Hajj, we spoke with Akbar Ahmed, chair of Islamic studies at American University and Pakistan's former ambassador to the United Kingdom. He shared his image of Mecca that's in his heart and what he sees from those aerial shots of Mecca in 2014.
I find the two images quite incompatible, and I find them disturbing because the images of what a lot of Muslims are calling the Las Vegas face of Mecca with all these new developments and the traditional idea of Mecca and the practice of Mecca, the Hajj, and going on pilgrimage, these two are sitting very uneasily together. Mecca, of course, symbolizes for Muslims the holiest of the holy, the idea of a pilgrimage to leave the world behind, a very spiritual place, the heart of Islam. And with these huge building complexes, the luxury hotels, five-star luxury hotels, and now, of course, with the Royal Mecca Clock Tower, which you mentioned, the one of the highest, probably the highest building in the world. And it's a very solid, very traditional kind of skyscraper structure with nothing really Islamic about it, towering over the Grand Mosque itself. It is very jarring, the juxtaposition of the images.
And a traditional skyscraper, but certainly no tradition that Muhammad, the prophet, would understand.
Exactly, because like all pilgrimages, whether in Judaism, Christianity, or indeed in non-Abrahamic religions like Hinduism or Buddhism, the idea really is to grapple with your understanding of the divine, to leave the world behind. And the Islamic pilgrim is really in that spirit, so that the pilgrim arrives in Mecca and he is asked to leave all visible signs of the world, which is clothes, which is your watches, your ties, your wallets, everything behind. You just wear a sheet, a white sheet, all men, women, kings, presidents, ordinary people, students. And the result is that you really, for those couple of days, feel that you are as close as you can be to the divine here on earth. And I'm just thinking how one is going to be going through that particular ritual, that particular form of religiosity and sacredness with these huge towers and apartments and hotels looking down on you, and you have no idea what's going on in those buildings because they're all dark and they're tinted.
And let's speak about the legacy of the House of Saud, the royal family that has controlled the holy sites since Saudi Arabia really took control of that area in Ottoman times. Is the legacy a commercialization? Or is the legacy one of reorienting Mecca to be really a place for Salafist Muslims, Sunni Salafists, who are very, very much in control in Saudi Arabia? And that's not necessarily an orientation of Islam that Shiites would embrace, or many around the world.
Well, John, that's a very important question. And it's obviously a complex question because you have, as I see, two contradictory impulses in the Saudi drive to, let us say, renovate Mecca and Medina. Also, don't forget, Medina is also in their sights. One impulse is coming from the billions and billions of dollars that the Saudis have, and they want to spend this in this lavish, garish, almost vulgar way of wanting to build the tallest, biggest, most modern buildings, number one. And number two, there's the other impulse, which is to express the architecture, the building projects, and through this expression, bring out the essential doctrine of Wahhabism, that is Puritanism, which is the most rigid or the strict form of Islam that you can imagine, which means anything that distracts from the worship of God, including sites directly associated with the Prophet of Islam, that is the origin of faith, they must be removed. So there's talk of removing the Prophet's remains in Medina, in the most famous, in the second most holy site in Islam, and the most famous mosque there, the mosque of the Prophet. There's already talk of the old buildings in which the Prophet lived and his wife lived, Khadija, and so on. They are being removed. Some parts of them have been demolished, and in the extensions planned for Mecca itself, they're going to just disappear. So for all kinds of archaeological, cultural, heritage, religious reasons, this is going to be a very explosive subject in the coming time.
Thinking about ISIS and the Islamic State that has declared a caliphate centered in the Syrian city of Raqqa, does the Disneyfication of Mecca, does that embolden forces of ISIS to try to delegitimize the Saudi claim on the holy sites? Or does this other impulse, this Wahhabi impulse, encourage the folks from ISIS to actually embrace what's going on in Mecca right now?
Again, a very interesting question, John, and I've thought about it a lot. If you look at not only ISIS, also look at what the Taliban did, if you recall, when they blew up those great, the most incredible treasure of Afghanistan, the Buddhist statues in Bamiyan.
Sure.
Now, again, it's the same impulse, the impulse to destroy anything which is associated with idolatry in the minds of these people. At the same time, these very people will use modern technology, their wealth, to express their philosophy in building and architecture. And you can see that happening in ISIS, where they're destroying the traditional mosques and they're destroying these old shrines and so on. So they're actually already implementing some of this philosophy. This is a much, much deeper struggle, if you like, a spiritual struggle, which takes political forms. That is happening throughout the Muslim world. This is, in fact, if you like, a very intensely internal debate.
And it's certainly something that is beneath the hearts of all of the individuals who are going to Mecca for the Hajj on a year where there are tensions afoot in the Middle East and in the Islamic world. Akbar Ahmed, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Akbar Ahmed is chair of the Islamic Studies Department at American University and Pakistan's former ambassador to the United Kingdom.
The Takeaway is supported by Lumosity.com, personalized brain training programs developed by neuroscientists to challenge memory, attention, and problem solving through games. Learn more at Lumosity.com.